you're on.
Pod down. Pod down.
Pod down. Pod down.
Fade a little bit longer. No?
All right. Good evening, welcome, J.R. Bob Dobbs, and a welcome guest, a surprise guest tonight. You snuck him in at the last minute.
Yeah,
one other friends who are here tonight, who took to the Subgenius Radio half hour plus or minus 12 minutes.
Depending on the budget and church audience. Yeah. Front.
Yeah. We have, we'll deal with him later, right? We have an incredible Subgenius here tonight, but we got to deal with some stuff. We only got 15 minutes. What do we... let's see. Where do we go into? Any suggestions, Pat? Or what are topics?
No topics. All right.
Topics will evolve as we always do.
Yeah, like what?
White liberals?
Robert Fulford.
Robert Fulford.
$500,000 office job at Ryerson, you know?
Jim Colwood.
AIDS.
Mike Snow.
Bob Marshall's press conference. Yeah. Christine Hart.
Margaret Atwood, right, yeah. I like that he said on the journal last night. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, what happened?
Well, they had five feminists. They had Margaret Atwood. They had, what's her name? The big woman.
Reuben Zeta.
No, it's
Betty Friedan.
Yeah.
That's two.
They gave it to Babs, too. Babs was just being.
Who's Babs? No, I've never seen it.
What's the
oh, come on. It's the competition.
Well, yeah. Barbara.
Oh, they call her Babs now.
I call her.
Like Babs Trayson?
Yeah, got that. Babs Bootler was in high school with me back in 28.
So what's your point?
Babs Bootler. I can't think of that. I don't want to think about Babs now. Okay, Mike, it was a slow promo. We're coming in real slow. I can't even think of a topic.
Let's go
to the phones.
You want to?
Yeah, let's see what we got.
Okay, let's see. I'll just pick up the line. This caller's been waiting for some time. So
A couple of days.
All right, go ahead, caller. Hello?
Hey.
Are you there?
Bob?
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah.
This is the Pseudo-Lexus, but I can't tell if you're there.
We are.
Can somebody let me know if you're there?
Kent, could you work on that?
Let him know that we're here. We're hearing him, but he can't hear us.
Yes, they can hear you.
This is going on air.
Yes.
Oh.
The Pseudo-Lexus.
Well, first I'd like to say I'm really sorry for not dropping by. Two weeks ago, the Voyager 2 satellite drifted by the outhouse, and it was a marvelous opportunity to spray paint my initials on it. Then on the way back, I got stuck in traffic. Little Pseudo-Lexus Jr. is here, and he'd like to say something. Go ahead, Bieber.
Dear little decor artist, you genetic celebrity selling your personality, you embrace original 60s retrieval. Off, you wanker. Folk off. Are you experimental, little digital clone? Do you think you're hip? You're stingy. You've got no sense of history. What time is it, little decor artist? What time is it, little digital clone? After all, Canada is a cautious place, and Canadians are a cautious race. So get that beer can out of my face.
Sounds like a good
idea. Folks, night-night
Toronto,
night-night
Bob.
That was
rehearsed.
That's beautiful,
the genius. Thanks, Pee-wee. Well, that was a scathing editorial.
That was excellent.
Made by the little pseudo-exist.
Mm-hmm.
Bob,
mm-hmm.
Don't you get stuck in traffic this week. This is the pseudo-exist flying over the town without pity. Good night, boys.
Thank you.
Are you traveling off again, the Pseudo-Exus?
That was an excellent beginning input. Gives me all kinds of ideas. Just a few words gets Bob going. Notice the genetic replica.
Well, a reminder, too, if you want to get in touch with Bob, the number is 595-1478 tonight. And
what about 1479? Does that work?
That works, too, if 1478 is busy.
Okay, so, You know, I think Bob, if we could define Bob as a viral debilitant.
As a Bob it is? Debilitant.
Good, good. Good, Mike. A viral debilitant via virile optimism. Right? A viral debilitant.
I'll agree, but I don't think I understand.
You do understand on your preconscious and postconscious levels, Mike.
Excellent.
That's all you need. Not your subconscious. That's the province of the subgenius. But you, Mike, understand under the preconscious and the postconscious. Another characteristic of Bob is he's post-cyberpunk. Right? And he's post-postmodern, of course. That's what we mean by virile optimism. None of this deadpan, hyper-bored cynicism, right? Hyper-bored. And then you could go into the idea that Bob is sort of after one experiences paranoia as an aesthetic emotion, right? Since we are Discana.
Yeah. I think we have a new word.
Disconnect.
I'm resonating with the Connaught Laboratory, so, since we're Disconnect.
That's right, doesn't it? Since we are voguing, you know, that's amazing that they catch up to some of Bob's ideas laid out in the perfect pitch chart, you know, many years ago, and they voguing, you know, wearing mixed corporate media via a visually biased magazine page, right? Voguing. But paranoia is an aesthetic emotion. You know, what? I got accused last week. Remember?
2 weeks ago.
Yeah. That's right, Mike. I get accused of...
Let's focus here, Bob.
I am. I got accused of not being able to change the world from this fringe position. Do you remember that call?
Yeah.
Well, I got a way to explain the impact of my homeopathic reality. It's no longer little David against huge Goliath, right? It's a super huge David or Bob versus tiny Goliath. You know why Goliath is so tiny? This is what they mean by the secret team. Visual space becomes microscopic and is able to pull the super strings and world sheets via panic and up and down emotional vicissitudes from a very small point, usually off the planet. Solar government, right? So, that's Goliath, very tiny. Now, each one of us, especially the subgenius, is discarnate, therefore swallows the whole universe. Electric environment goes in and out. Internal and external universes. Therefore, we are, each one of us, super huge. So it's a case of super huge David looking for tiny Goliath. Goliath still is powerful, but he can hide now. He's invisible. She's invisible. So let's think of this. I mean, any maxim we can come up with, any aphorism, will have flipped at least three times until you find the hidden, subcivilized, post-atomic metaphor, which usually comes back to Discarnate, right? So, you understand that, Philly? I mean, super huge Discarnate David looking for tiny Goliath. Okay, now let's get to Mike. Could you just wash your hands and we can put on the next tape? Yeah, just wipe them on Philly's nice psychedelic pattern coat there, the spiral of...
Hey, Bob, read this.
Dave, you haven't been introduced. Look, Dave's not been introduced yet. I think we can up the psychic vibe here and the physical vibe by having a word from the Exus. Yeah, have you got that set up? Is that right? The Exus. Now, basically it's a backlog because 2 weeks ago, we had a call from a guy who wanted me to explain fragmentation. And I said, very interesting, because I have the update directly from Marshall McLuhan himself. You see, none of the holy offices are out of touch with Bob. I'm going to tell you something about May Brussels later and their house burning down. That's another important topic we can get into.
Oh, really? You know more about that?
Got more stuff on the house, you know. But none of the holy offices, most of them are gone, removed from this dimension. But Bob is in touch with them. And the Exus are a useful form of communicating with them.
Hey, you know what the word slack is backwards?
What?
House.
That's right. It's not class. It's house if you hear it. Class visually, and Dave's going to illustrate that later, how it's house. It's a house we all live in. Economics means house. Household work. Well, anyways, this person was asking about fragmentation. Oh, wait a minute, Mike. Get your finger off that. Just hold it, hey? Okay.
Hands off. Handwrite.
Mike, you're so obedient tonight. I love you when you're like that, Mike. You know, you just sort of seem like you believe in me. You know, it gives me encouragement. I just might come back. I might come back in 2 weeks. So, Marshall, he can tell us right now what fragmentation is all about today under post-mixed corporate media situation. And we'll get into that later. There's much to get into later, not right now. So I'm hoping that listener, that subgenius, is followed up and showed up again tonight and discarnate with us. And share what the exes have to say via Marshall McLuhan. You know, either way, I think. Marshall via exes, exes via Marshall. What does he have to say about fragmentation? Okay, Mike.
Well, therefore, one could say that advertising is a new art form, but then again, so is machinery. It's in its own art form, a machine as a tool of production. Well, is an item of beauty within its own self, that it's man's relationship to the machinery that caused the great problems of the late 19th century, that the machine ruled the man. But then man began to see himself as an extension of the machine rather than the machine as an extension of the man. And as the world begins to become that global village, so therefore it begin to revert back to the fact that man begin to realize that the machine is the extension of the man, not the man the extension of the machine. So therefore that alters the perceptiveness of the Industrial Revolution, which then means that if the machine is an extension of man, which of course it is, then the continual fractionalization of society exists. And Marshall adds this next part, but not the fractionalization of the individual. Because if the machine is the extension of the man, then any man can run any machine or any machines. So therefore his knowledge is more than one machine. When the machine ran the man, only the man could have that one machine knowledge. But with man running machines, then he can have knowledge of a television, a VCR, a telephone. He's not bound by any one machine because the machine is an extension of him. So therefore, business would have a tendency to say this person is a secretary, this person is a receptionist, this person is a bookkeeper, this person, and so on, fractionalizing it down, when in actuality that can be done with societies, but as that is done with societies, exactly the opposite happened with the individuals. Because the Industrial Revolution tried to fractionalize man so that man would be an extension of the machine. We are quoting him exactly at this moment. He is the driver on that particular conversation. Approximately 2 minutes.
What does Marshall say about the suggestions of his interest in the pre-Masonic conspiracies in the biography? Was that something he studied behind the scenes?
He studied it behind the scenes because behind societies there are societies that run societies that run societies.
Does he know why he had to keep it quiet, keep it behind the scenes?
To a degree he knew, because he knew that sometimes the object of the secret society is to keep itself secret, and would choose sometimes means that he did not know in order to keep it secret. And he did not want to find out how they would keep it secret. Because he viewed as a dangerous experiment to find.
Will he make contact with Mae Russell, who passed over a year ago?
Yes.
He would be interested in your research?
Oh, yes.
Any place what we should talk about or think about or use?
What he just said, which we relay to you. And as a society fractionalized, people don't. Machines being owned by men owning machines. He says, look very carefully at that. Very carefully. Because if you follow that, you'll see where it goes, that each man does become a god, and machine becomes what it is always meant to be.
But it doesn't mean a God in a Gnostic sense.
Not in a Gnostic sense. But that what man would have perceived himself to be as God, that is what he would be.
What a meditation. So that's Marshall's update. Now, we have a real amazing subgenius sitting on my left here.
Mm-hmm.
This guy wrote a half a page of notes just from that 5-minute input. This guy has a lot to say. He hasn't been on the air on live in a long time. Live here, you've been on the air other times.
He's been the source behind many of our audio sources.
Yeah, he's the one who made that wonderful hit that made the charts in CFNY. It's true, Dave. You should be proud.
Don't be so modest.
Yeah. Is there any point? Did you notice me organizing the astroplane there? I was ordering May and Marshall to get together, you know, and they can't book it in until next year, approximately. But, you know, they have to orchestrate both the in and out of plane. This is astounding radio. I heard Robert Fulford on the Ryerson and the others, you know, 91.1, yeah. Mm-hmm. I heard him on a phone in about 3 hours ago because, you know, they gave him a chair here, $500,000 chair, so he'll assent to go on to the radio station. Man, it was so dull, unbelievable. And I was thinking, man, he got Robert Fulford. He ain't Bob Fulford. He ain't nowhere near Bob.
Actually, what we're going to go with is with Bob with Robert Fulford, but that's another story.
Oh, that will happen. I predicted that.
Yeah.
That's coming out in future articles. My challenge to various entities in Toronto, where they will have to respond to me publicly. But let's introduce. We have Dave Feldman here, and
yes.
He's from Czechoslovakia, and he's a wonderful person. You know, we used to be lovers. You know, back under the regime of Adam Bond. You know, but that wasn't allowed to carry on, so we split.
Adam was jealous.
Yeah, and
nice to have you here, Dave.
Yeah, an old lover. But Dave, you got a lot of input.
Well, let's first talk about what Marshall was saying, stress that people don't rationalize. What does that relate to what he was saying before about the macro changes while the micro levels remain the same?
No, there's changes in both. We know that. Now, the macro becomes tiny. That's Goliath. The machine dominated man in the 19th century. That's visual space as gargantuan Goliath. Mm-hmm. It now becomes tiny and therefore fragmented. Whereas the individual who was tiny and dehumanized now becomes superhumanized, a god, as they just said.
Is that the flip from visual to back to acoustic space, too?
No, forward to tactile space. Remember, tactile space includes acoustic and kinetic and visual. Now, tactile is the godhood evoking situation because it evokes all the sensory ratios as its content. It's the interplay of all of them.
Mm.
It's tribal people who can't handle the discarnate state, which is called software communism, want to get back into tribal communism, which is like a pink human form, a human group acoustic space institution. Those who interpret the two tactile age as acoustic go for tribal communism, not software communism. Software communism leads to electric autonomy and it becomes very lonely.
Mm.
And can you take it?
Actually, this CIA thing, total usage of McLuhan. Actually, talks about that. Is he says basically...
Well, you should say it's not CIA. It's a guy who worked in the CIA, put out a book this year claiming he wrote it with Marshall McLuhan. And you can go ahead, Dave.
Essentially he's talking about computers and that they change people, where people lose their identities that they previously had and they become information entities. But that also could be the bias of someone who's an intelligence operative, because he himself already has that persona of an information entity rather than a real identity as a human being.
Yeah, I think he's identifying with the software communism effect. He's identifying with discarnateness and seeing it as a management position, not as an unmanageable anarchic situation. So therefore, he's projecting computerized control.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you should read the quote.
What? Yeah, I know. I'm trying to find it.
Oh, it's right there, underlined. Yeah, that one.
Well, that's more and more people will enter the market of information exchange modems, that sort of thing,
yeah.
Lose their private identities in the process, but emerge with the ability to interact with any person on the face of the globe. Mass spontaneous electronic referendums will sweep across continents. The concept of nationalism will fade, and regional governments will fall as the political implications of spaceship Earth create a world government.
Now, there's a lot of erroneous use of the English language there.
The satellite will be used as a prime instrument in a world propaganda war for the hearts and minds of men.
Yeah, see, now, what this is bringing back nostalgia for the world government, which is what's really going on now, according to the perfect chart. Now, you see, yeah, you get out your perfect pitch chart, page 147 of High Weird Spy Mail.
You really want a moment to do that.
Yeah.
Get your pencils.
Now, we're looking at section 4. Begins television as a hidden ground, then moves into computer, hidden ground, and satellite hidden ground. Television as hidden ground was in the 50s. Computer as hidden ground was the 60s, and satellite as hidden ground was the 70s. The 80s is all of them as discarnate mood archetypal fantasies. So therefore, Ronald Reagan, who is the popular art form for the second coming situation, which is post-television, computer, satellite, he's the art form, the hidden ground of second coming. And Ronald Reagan expressed ambiguity, not just in his private points of view, but in what image was he? Was he a satellite man? Yeah, Star Wars. Was he a computer image? Yeah, teleprompter president. And was he supposedly a charismatic TV image? You know, Kennedy done properly in the American context. Yes, he was all three. So he was fluctuating through the various mixed corporate media syndrome, image, emotion, moods. All right? Now, that's the flow. So within that, you have to have a flip, because the satellite kind of would create a different situation than the television. This is erroneous, what I just said, but it's necessary to say this to get to the next point. It's an interval gap. You know, it's a genuine fake statement. So television and satellite are different. So, and so is computer. They all have their own integrity and their own tetrad. So Reagan had to flip in within his regime. So he starts off as an evil empire, which is computer values creating a two-bit world. That's what the computer does. Brings back visual information. And most people think information is something you can read. They didn't know television without the print going across like a computer screen was information. The exchange of information was going on since the 20s. And if you want to get real technical, if you're close to Bob, you go back to the telegraph. But information age, most people refer in American context as the computer world, the visual print. And Reagan, that brought back the two-bit world, so he, the two-bit wit world, so he had a two-bit wit response to the political realities and called Russia an evil empire. But then he had to include the mood of the satellite, which happened later in his regime, and that's when he embraced, under satellite tetrad implosion conditions, he embraced Gorbachev. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, Bush is the... what is Bush, Dave? Input on Bush's image.
Bush's image?
Yeah. If Reagan covered all that, and the second coming was the ground, and that referred to Bob and Bob's work, because that's what Bob means. Reagan was a post-modern image. He was a cyberpunk, and so was everybody else. But Bob was the hidden ground. What is the post-cyberpunk situation? It's viral debilitant as virile optimism, a sense of direction, a sense of, yes, we are going to make it.
A sense of orchestration.
Which direction?
The resurrection.
The resurrection, the second coming. You see, on the machine level, the second coming was a retrieval of satellite, computer, and TV archetypes as moods. I mean, 1 minute you're euphoric, the world's united, the next minute it's falling apart, right? That's real simple. But that is a kind of transition.
He's like a postmastery.
Postmastery?
Mm-hmm.
Is it
like
a mailman?
It's like Reagan was known for being able to orchestrate and work well within the various elements of the media, as you just spoke of. He appeared well on television, blah, 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 blah. Whereas Bush, it almost seems like that's taken for granted now. He doesn't even have to do it well.
Good point, yeah. He is post the situation. He is actually trying to keep up with me. He's maybe trying to a gentler, kinder nation. And isn't that like second coming? Isn't that like Christian values? Like a sense, has a president ever said that? You know, has it been an unkind nation, an ungentle nation before? Yeah, it was. But, I mean, he's admitting it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he's trying to catch up to Gorbachev and who is the closer approximation of the second coming to me, because he's got the mark of the beast on his head, right? He's got that going for him. But
it's a big plus.
Yeah, so the thing is that Dave brings up the macrocosm versus the microcosm, and one is not changing, the other is. They're both changing, but they have flipped, and they flip many times. And then you have the computer macrocosm versus the television micro, and you can interplay satellite micro versus television macro. They flip around. That's why the only structure that could sociologically explain this is the tetrad. And lucky it's put out, and as we know 2 weeks ago, the Axis told us the American military is using it. Gorbachev is using it as a military weapon. And this brings us into panic as an art form.
Now, imagine if they had been using these tetrads in the 50s, Do you think that the whole outcome of history would have been changed if they were applied by colonial powers?
No, no, you couldn't have used it. See, the electric environment creates pattern recognition. We could not have thought of the tetrad until now because it's an effect of the hidden ground of a technological speed-up. So you remember, the satellite is an extension of the planet. The electric nervous system, electric situation is an extension of our central nervous system, but the satellite itself is an extension of the planet. So we're off the planet, and solar government comes in. And so therefore, as these three television computer satellite archetypes flip around, you get tantrums and obsolescence feelings in one of the archetypes. For example, in October 1987, the computer feeling quite out of it after TV and satellite have been bunched around as prominent archetypal moods, say, from 85 to 87. What's the computer do? Goes on strike, creates the October crash on Wall Street. The computer refused to respond to the programmers and took a nosedive. There was the computer doing the Paris Commune. That's for you, Jim Patterson, you know, page 2 of Paris Encyclopedia. Panic Encyclopedia, Jim. The satellite is figure. Now, what would, how would the satellite archetype freak out? I mean, if the computer can go on strike, what would the satellite government do? I think it would be human scale would come back. The idea that two people talking could cure the planet.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's the meaning of the summits. Right? Human scale comes back. We've gone beyond the environmental extension.
That's a reversal, implosion?
Yeah. Implosion.
Regression.
Regression. Regression? To what?
If you view it as a regression, to something like that, be.
It's a fake. It's a fake image.
Population reverses from content spectator to actor participant.
Well, that was the hidden ground of satellite. That was the effect of satellite hidden ground, which was in the late 60s, early 80s, and that created the yippies who took politics out of the nightclub.
Mm.
They brought the nightclub into politics, whereas Mort Saul, he brought politics into the nightclub. But Rubin and those guys brought the nightclub into politics because they saw the street as theater, as a stage, the proscenium arch inside the global theater condition. So we then retrieve satellite. Now, what would be retrieving the actor as the audience as participant retrieve now, many years later?
Perhaps we could put that to our audience.
Yeah, please help us on this one.
That'd be part of tonight's theme, other than the other theme, which is, of course, white liberals, question mark. And
That's what it is. The retrieval of Abbie Hoffman. They brought him back.
Yeah.
All right, Abbie Hoffman.
They hoiked him up.
They hoiked him up.
I love that word.
Yeah. I wish we could say it more.
Yeah.
Find new ways. Oh, let's hope some of our audience use it. But they brought Abbie Hoffman and Paul Krasner and these yippies back a year or two ago, and because they were representing the retrieval of audience as actor-participant in its own participation, they had to kill Abbie because it was too powerful. I mean, whoever gets killed is the expression of the figure resonating most with the most present ground. You know what I mean? It's the most potent figure. So read the obituary like Mae Russell did. You know, that's where you find out where the action is.
Mm-hmm.
Mike, is there any calls?
No. Well, they are. They're lined up. 595-1478 is the number for the subgenius show.
But Dave wrote a whole bunch. Yeah, but Dave wrote a whole bunch of stuff. Certainly, we can go to what you want to feature, Dave, or do you want to talk about your notes?
Another thing is, you know how when the space people come, how they don't have to like communicate orally; they just like they can read your mind, right? And I thought, well, if they read your thoughts, right, then they must have a good command of English, or anyone that's able to, like, read people's mind telepathically. You're assuming that they're if they're going to pick up any kind of advanced thoughts, they have to be able to pick up the language form in your mind, right? Otherwise, they can see this person's angry or this person's sad, but they can't pick up super advanced things. How does someone read your mind and tell really what you're thinking? They would probably have to understand the language that you're thinking. So even though you're not verbalizing it, these kind of language words are still forming in your head.
So right, now that just to hold it, that's a good question.
Well,
where does
taller? I think we're going to interject.
Okay, yeah, just a second, just his thought about what Dave's a good point. Where does language? Okay, where does language become thought? I mean, if they can tune into something behind language,
yeah,
you know, that'd be that's a
then
something
how
to investigate.
Could it be? Yeah.
Yeah.
If they want to think something sophisticated.
Hello.
Hello.
You're
Hi.
On.
Hi, Bob. It's not Bob.
Not Bob.
As in K-N-O-T.
Oh, yeah. Did I made a slight suggestion, a reference to you. Did you hear it?
No, I didn't.
I just said that I will be addressing Fulford and various entities in Toronto in future articles.
Yes.
Yeah. Did you hear that line?
Yeah, I did hear that. But I didn't realize that it would be... I didn't realize it was referring to my article.
Yeah, this is not Bob. Go ahead. I'm glad you're contributing.
Well, the reason I'm phoning is because I spent the day... I spent yesterday at the movies and saw a couple of interesting ones. I was hoping that you'd seen them as well. I was hoping you and Mike could play sort of Siskel and Ebert for me.
What was
this? Anyway, the movies were Speaking Parts and Sex, Lies, and Videotape.
Yeah, I did my homework. I saw them a couple of weeks ago. I did a talk on it a couple of weeks ago. So you say something and I can respond.
Well, I mean, let's do the Speaking Parts first. I mean, if there's ever been sort of a training film for elementary Bobisms, Speaking Parts is it. I mean, does Adam Egoyan listen to your show is what I'm wondering.
I forgot what Speaking Parts is about. Give me a clue.
Well, I mean, both of the Goyen films are basically people so voided out.
No, just give me a content. I'm just tuned out here. I got a heavy subgenius beside me, and, you know, he's sort of rubbing my leg. But I saw Sex, Lies, and Video, but I did see the other one. What happened in it? It was
Speaking
Parts? Yeah, what was it? Give me the basic theme.
Okay, it was basically... There's this one actor who works in a hotel.
Oh, yeah, okay. I remember that one. I just need an image. And, the discarnate sex they did. Okay, now what... I'm focused. What's your statement?
Well, I think the beautiful thing about Speaking Parts is it is so perfectly represents some of the ideas that you speak about on your show. I mean, these people are just completely zombified by the electronic barrage that they listen to. I mean,
that's right. You're right on. Both movies are being hoiked up, which could be part of. Since we were talking about the retrieval of satellite, computer, and TV moods, there's something about bringing back the archetypal intensity videotape that struck a chord in 89.
Well, I disagree slightly here.
That's okay.
Second film, Sex, Lies, and Videotape, it wimps out at the end. You see, because the characters find their salvation through the guy who makes the videotapes.
Yeah.
They find a certain salvation. I mean, their problems are resolved through... the use of technology, whereas in a Goyen film, technology in a Goyen film is a horror, is a pure beast throughout the whole thing from start, finish, and end.
Sort of like Videodrome.
Videodrome, another great film.
I think the bias, maybe I think I've hit it. I know usually when I'm talking earlier in the show, it resonates with what's going to be said later, and it gives me answers. What's happened here is that both movies try to resurrect human scale again. So these movies, as a rear-view mirror image emphasizing television and videotape, are symptoms of the post-satellite condition of retrieving human scale. This is what these movies plead for, don't they?
Well, I think, and there's a scene in Speaking Parts where all of a sudden it's in the last 10, 15 minutes of the film, where it just starts speeding up, and the actor, who's been a complete droid throughout the entire film, finally just freaks out and starts screaming. And regains a certain humanity at that scene, but then they cut to the next image and it's lost again. So
I think that the problem with those movies is that the fact, first of all, they're hyped and why, so they strike a chord, but as usual, there's no artwork in any medium being done anywhere today that can keep up with Bob. And so these movies are showing, they're both made by younger directors, and it's showing their merging with the discarnate state and the effects of it, but not knowing the causes of it. And they don't know how to articulate the causes, and they fall back into human sentimentality for ambiguity, and ambiguity via relationship. And it's a very narcissistic, closed off, hidden in the closet kind of relationship, both things, right?
Mm-hmm.
The two couples from both movies are by themselves. With the hidden ground of that is discarnate. And that's not talked about. I just think it's amazing that if you've read the reviews of those movies, that they talk about McLuhan, they have an awareness of my stuff, and I really thought that, yes, these guys might be listening to the show.
Well, I mean, particularly Egoyan, because he lives in Toronto, right? I mean, he has access to I mean, it's quite plausible that he's tuned into, he could have just happened upon CKLN on Wednesday nights at midnight.
Yeah, did you see his interview now during the festival week where he was trying to deal with the image and our image addiction? I mean, that's one of my main themes is image addiction, but he doesn't know how to distinguish between the visual image, the kinetic image, the acoustic image, and the tactile image. In other words, these movies are about videotapes, supposedly, but they're just waking up the movie technology, which is so ancient. I think all grants should be cut from all movie makers. We don't need movies. I mean, we can survive in a lot of other media. And if we want to get to human scale, we, most of us, are becoming voguing magazines. We can be a movie to anybody we want to in our relationships now. Because we've got so, composed and impacted with information that most of us today, even a 10-year-old, can entertain someone else with just what they've experienced in their own personal software entertainment. And that, okay.
Now, why, maybe you could just, I think I'm lost here a little bit. Why are movies so bloody popular in Toronto right now? I mean, I remember when the Carlton closed for renovations for 2 months, no one had anything to talk about at cocktail parties, right? I mean, the film is given such an undue prominence these days.
Because the movie is the closest to visual space. And Torontonians really have a nostalgia for visual space, and it's a proper paranoia for the discarnate state. And movies give you something to look at, something to swim around and surf with, and it's like a home to live in. As a matter of fact, I think it is people's social life, because Americans generally go out to be alone. So they go to a movie to be alone, and then they use that experience in their social life.
And Canadians?
Oh, I include the Canadians as Americans. They're the same thing. We both had to tame the wilderness, so we both have that bias, that fear of nature. But so we go out to be alone. Since we do most things today, you can't take the young, old, rich, poor, those kind of verses, those kind of conflicts, dialectics. You can't really take one side or the other. They're always happening at the same time. So today, our parents went out to be alone, but today we go out to be alone. We go to a movie. We demand quiet. We don't like any noise. Then, right after the movie, you go out to be social. You go to a cafe and you talk about it, or to a party.
Right.
Or you get on the phone. So you're using movies to be social. And you're using
restaurants for identity.
Yeah, it's identity.
But I also, I guess, because our lives are so barren of any sort of meaning or humanity, the films, in fact, provide us with conversation topics to last us till bedtime.
Well, it's I think
there's a lot of humanity, and
there is humanity going on in the discarnate state. We don't know how to express it or talk about it. Because people, you see, the resonant interval is a throbbing sexual organ. Think of it that. Think of, you know, genital organs in action. The throbbing involvement of the heart, you know, the systole-diastole action of the heart vessels. Okay, these know at the same time. That's what we're involved with for everybody daily, constantly, 24 hours, you know, of the nature. So we are so intimately, we need to UV, which, as Marshall McLuhan said, the movie medium contains all time and spaces. It's like approximation of visual space that we used to call nature. We need that as an aesthetic, as a kind of cushion to create walls between us.
Mm-hmm. As an interesting postscript, the city in which people attend most movies per capita. Toronto is number 2 in the world, by the way. Can you guess what number 1 is? Here's a clue. It's a glamour European city.
Hamburg.
No. You're close. You're quite close.
Is that right? It's Germany?
It is Germany.
West Berlin.
West Berlin. You got it.
And I did mean that originally, but I was being ironic by saying Hamburg. Have we heard from them lately?
He's so modest.
Yes. Now, Hamburg, West Berlin is an interesting city because it's in the interval, right? It's got the acoustic wall. It's got the visual wall. It's just an interval city with all the four zones, as laid out in Pynchon's Gravity's Rainbow, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a throbbing interval thing, and that's probably why a lot of the decadents like David Bowie go to those cities, you know,
yeah,
to hang out.
Some integrated under satellite conditions, no?
Yeah, it becomes a big issue. East Germans and West Germans uniting. Now, isn't it funny that
integrating,
and isn't it funny that the ones that are going over to West Germany are very unhappy immediately? I mean, you know, our targets are changing so fast that we can't even aim.
Mm-hmm.
And we do fake up a target. We arrive at it within 6 days. It doesn't meet your new sense of a new goal, new target.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to see scrambling back and forth. You're going to see the West Germans going, pleading to go back to East Germany. In East Germany, some of the newer ones kind of trying to get over West Germany. And that's where I'm going to have to knock the wall down just to have this implosion. So West Berlin is the archetypal city for satellite implosion conditions. Mm-hmm. So it is the resonating interval. It's where it's at, to say, right now. And what better way if you, before the wall goes down, hey, I make a prediction. Once the wall goes down, movie consumption will drop in West Berlin, because the movie enhances the schizophrenic condition, which is the only way to respond to a visual space like the wall put up, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's an anesthetic in those conditions. Otto, don't we experience a wall? The border. The border is our wall with New York. I mean, the big guy, there are suburbs of each other, right? Toronto and New York. So the wall is going down with free trade. So that means movies will go down here, too. You know how it's going to go down? Everybody in Toronto is going to make a movie and get into movies and send them out to the rest of the world. Right?
I think that's fair to say.
We call that producer mania. See, Marxism came out of the 19th century when you had consumer dissatisfactions. Most of the pop culture since World War II has been producer dissatisfaction. You tune into Erica M. and Jeannie Becker, and those people interview little young people twanging their instruments. They all want to get on the air because they don't like the sound of the music they're hearing. They're into producer mania, not consumer. They don't want to consume it. They want to get on there and make their music and produce it and therefore have it as an environment because they're producer dissatisfaction.
I guess I'm a victim of that with Not Magazine.
Well, get the first issue out. And then you can therapy about it. But you are right, yes. We don't need this magazine, but we might need one issue. But what is there any new ideas you got?
No.
I don't feel we talked about... Did you hear what I said about the sexualized video? No, you didn't. It's a tetrad. The interplay of the four characters is you take one and heighten him for a period in the movie, it obsolesces one of the others, retrieves a third one, and then pushed to extreme, it flips into the other. And simple is that, the angel flipped into the Gnostic lady, right? Her sister,
mm-hmm.
right, at some point. And the Gnostic one flipped into her at the end of the movie, the way she was. She got turned off to interpersonal relationship.
Right.
Right? And the guys, it flipped back and forth into each other.
Right.
So, the tetrad... space, how it works, and that's the hidden appeal of the sexualizing videotape is that it's a tetrad in movie form.
I see.
You know what I mean? You emphasize one character's temperament or traits, and it creates a disservice, and therefore retrieves something else, and obsolesces a third thing, and flips when pushed to extreme.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's what I had said. Also, the movie's a nostalgia for ambiguity. So I would say that these guys are trying to hoik up video as a movie to create a wall to separate themselves from Bob after hearing him on the radio. Right? That makes sense, doesn't it?
Perfect.
Dave just said film is retrieving videotape as content. That's right. Basically, it's an ad for TV, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's an ad for the big networks. That must be the hidden ground, is to get people... back is to sort of show the disservice of having your own private video camera, right?
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, let's go back to major mass media like NBC or CBC or News World. So they're trying to make video an anarchic situation that destroys human relationships, your own little personal camera, right?
Right.
You know what they're doing in L.A.? Studios... the major studios are going after the little home studios that are getting too big for their goods. And what they're doing is they're saying zoning laws. You can't in your home have a studio in your business and do your own thing. And they're trying to get these guys put out of business. So there's a war by the big boys against this.
So we've got tiny Goliath coming back as trying to become big Goliath again. Did you hear that theme earlier, Robert?
Yep.
Not Bob? Yeah. So you've got... So this is the retrieval of world government. You have visual space now feeling that it can now move around after it's been so miniaturized. So the big boys are back. And so I say those two movies are about bringing back the big boys. That makes sense.
Yeah.
You could probably score an article with that theme, or at least a review in Now magazine. You get a little credit there.
Yeah.
Stick that idea in some album review.
Okay,
Lester Bangs technique.
Yeah. Okay, I'll sign off to make room for... other important colors.
Thanks, not Bob.
Okay, bye.
Thanks, Robert. Okay. That was pretty boring.
I know. You had to fill it in with your own phone call. That was good. Now, if we don't have a call, let's have Dave present his theme here.
Okay, what do we interject if the phone call comes through? Oh, I should call it on my
7th. Are we getting something now?
Yeah, I hear something.
And y'all ain't sending those pledges in. Now, you didn't...
Well, that's Mike. He runs his own show while we're on. This is a quadrophenia. Oh, I do want to say that people accuse me of being a contradiction. I don't want to be a contradiction. I don't want to be a walking contradiction. I want to be a flying... What am I going to say? A flying...
Go ahead, call him.
Quadradiction.
Hello. Hi.
Hello. How are you?
Good, thank you. Do you have a question for Bob tonight?
Hmm?
Do you have a question for Bob tonight?
Yeah, I wanted to say something.
Yeah, good. That's
Bob.
Yeah.
I am an independentist.
No, you're not.
I am not going to be brought into the fold of this mass media.
Jim. Hey, Jimmy. Did you hear me address you earlier? I tickled you up perfectly in my scintillating surfing dialect. Oh, Mike got me off.